Sports Gamble Podcast.
Anyways, you ready?
Yeah. I thought that was part of the pod.
Oh, sorry. Well, hey, it might be, but you know, I want to get a new intro. Welcome to the Sports Gamble Podcast. Manuel, I'm here with my main man, Manuel Hernandez, the money man himself, eating on a sandwich. How's that sandwich tasting, man?
Delicious.
Hey, I bet that sandwich tasting even better because week one is finally here.
Well, for us that love the college football game.
Oh, yeah. Football?
That's what you keep calling it. I'm going to give it more respect than that. I mean, as soon as them Cali boys learn how to play football, and by them I mean like USC, then maybe you might give it more respect.
You know what? I don't know if I'm fiending for football or I'm just that excited, but I was watching some games and it was pretty exciting. I don't know why people think it's such pretend football. It was pretty good. I gotta give it that.
People?
Yeah.
You call it pretend football.
Anyways, we're here. We're back. We took a little time off. We're not going to cover tight ends like we said we were. Whatever. We're busy. We got lives. We're both parents and husbands. We had a whole weekend full of fantasy football drafts, which I'm sure people out there did as well. So, you know, we've been busy with all that, but we're here. We're going to start this. We're going to break down the lines. We're going to talk about some bets. We're going to talk about some fantasy football, and we're going to have a good time.
Let's do it. You know what? But you know what? We're not funny guys, so let's just get to it. What do you want to break down? What do you want to talk? You want to talk Super Bowl rematch?
And I know that we talked about covering some college football lines, but you said you wanted to wait a couple weeks. Why is that?
Well, I wanted to wait a couple weeks because I think our show is pretty predominantly, it's like the NFL genre.
Right, but right.
Eventually, people just can't get enough of football, and I think there'll be like once the conference play starts predominantly, I think it'll just be better. We have a better lay of the land, as people will say, you know?
Uh-huh. Right. So, with that, you know, let's get into some football. Do you want to talk about DFS first, or do you want to talk about the lines?
Well, that's a good question. I would like to talk about DFS because I was just thinking about how many guys are actually playable tomorrow for contests that run through week one through Monday night. Because I see it as a fairly low-scoring game unless you have, like, these surprises – defensive touchdowns, special teams touchdowns. But I think that, you know, obviously the Denver D is not going to regress. I would be really surprised if it did.
Right. So, okay. Well,
and I think the Denver offense is going to be very conservative and they're going to use CJ Anderson and, you know, a little dump off or quick squeeze to Emmanuel Anderson or dump offs to Devontae Booker, you know, such as. I don't even know who the Denver tight end is right now, but I think he's going to catch a few balls. So,
Virgil Green. And he's – so one thing I want to talk about really quick, there's a really cool website called Roto Grinders. And if you go to rotogrinders.com/lineups, you can choose DraftKings or FanDuel or whatever, all these other sites. But they literally give you like the line, the over-under, and they break down all of like the salaries for each player. And they give you the lineups and everything. And they even break down the over-unders, projecting how many points each team's supposed to get based on Vegas over-under lines. So that's a good tool that I like to use. It's rotogrinders.com. Really
man,
cool.
They're getting a free commercial off here, bro. But for those of y'all who don't go to Roto Grinders because you come here for your fantasy info and we'll lead you down the right path.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not trying to, I'm doing this for the people, for the love, man. I'm trying to share it, right? I'm doing it for you guys out there, all of six of our listeners.
No, for real, though, all six of you listeners, you guys can go to Roto Grind or, you know, secretfantasy.com, all those whatever sites, but you got to have instincts. You got to have instincts to win. So you ain't got those, you ain't got nothing.
But anyways, and I know that I've talked trash about Daily Fantasy before. I said on the previous pod that it's a ripoff. But I did mention that there are certain tournaments that are not. And I'm in a few in DraftKings that are single entry and like max three entry. Now, the trade-off is you're not going to win as much money, okay? But you're also not going to go up against these guys who have, you know, 100 lineups and who are just going to blow you out the water. Like, there's really no point if you only have a couple lineups to even play because odds are you're not going to win. But if it's single entry, it's single entry, you know? Everyone only gets one shot. If it's three entry, hey, that's not bad either. Pick three of your best lineups. So
yeah, I usually don't like getting blown out of the water.
Yeah, yeah, that's not a good strategy for anybody who wants to win at any money. So, anyways, that's that about DFS. The only I'm not really gonna get into it like player by player or team by team. There's different podcasts that focus just on that, and maybe I'll give a few shout outs of some that I listen to. But one thing I want to talk about is just a few different strategies. Okay, it's just like super basic. Okay, you have two basic kind of DFS games. You have cash games, right? And you have tournaments. Cash games are like your 50-50s or like your heads up playing against someone else. And there's two basic simple strategies that you want to do. Of course, you can, you know, use a little bit of variance from either one of these. But anyways, in cash games, you want to go with something safe and conservative. Because you just want to basically, like if it's 50-50, you want to be in the top 50%, you know?
So how do those top 50-50 work? Like even the person, say there's like 30 people, right?
Yeah.
The person who gets first place gets the same amount as the person who gets 15th place?
Correct. Correct. So you just want to get in the top 15. Like you're not trying to get some crazy, you know, outlandish score. So you just want to be safe. You want to build the safest roster that you know is going to get you points. You want to be able to get, you know, three times your salary. So let's say you pick Cam Newton, right? He's going for $7,700. So you want to be able to make, you know, somewhere around 21 points. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah, I get you.
Yeah, so you want him to get you around there. Between
so, I mean,
three
definitely,
to five.
This is like the non-greedy way to play DFS.
Right, you want to try to build the safest lineup you can. Now, conversely, in tournament plays where it's like, oh, win, you know, first place gets 10,000, first place gets 100,000, first place gets a million. That's where now you want to mix it up and go for the long shots. And not only that, your goal is to not only play long shots, but you got to play long shots that other people aren't playing, right? For example, who's someone this week that is going to go cheap that everyone's going to be on?
Oh, that everyone's going to be on?
Yeah. Or like, you know, a lot of people are going to be on. I'll throw out a name. Spencer Ware.
Okay.
He's going for cheap. In DraftKings, right? He's only 4.4K as opposed to Jamaal Charles, who's 7.1K. Well, Spencer Ware is super cheap. People are going to play him because that means you have more money to spend elsewhere. But if 60% of the people are playing Spencer Ware and you're playing him too, well, then guess what? You're just basically even at that point after that. So you see what I'm saying? You want to try to get some variance.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so here, I got a strategy. I want you to play Crockett Gilmore. Tight end, Ravens.
Okay.
Because then I'm sure he's cheap just off where I've been drafting. He's not even getting drafted. And you know Joe Flacco likes his tight ends.
Right.
And his two top tight ends are hurt. Well, Benjamin Watson's done for his life. And then Pitta is hurt. You get me?
Yeah. So Crockett Gilmore is going for 2.6K, which is pretty much the lowest you can pay for a tight end. And
so that's kind of what you want, because like you want somebody that you can pay really low, and it's a big variance because not a lot of people are going to have him on the roster.
Well, they are now because they're listening to our podcast.
I hope so.
Right. No, but that's a good one. And I'm even here looking at Roto Grinders manual, and they got him projected to do better than Dennis Pitta on.
Yeah, I totally would agree.
For Baltimore.
I totally would agree.
So, and when you're playing tournaments, you want to get into like the 5 to 7 times range. So, for example, Dennis Pitta, 2.6. If you can get 12 to 15 points out of him, and it's PPR, so we're talking, you know, 6 catches, 30 yards, and a touchdown? Oh, that's not a good stat line. 3 catches, 60 yards, and a touchdown is probably more realistic. But you're at 15 points, you know? And you've already just pretty much far exceeded your cost, because if it's only 2.6K for a tight end, then you can spend that money to go and get the Julio Jones and Odell, you know?
Okay, so I see what you're saying. You're saying that players have to justify their value, and when they justify their value and far exceed their value, that's what you're looking for.
Yes. So for tournament plays, you're looking for someone who can far exceed their value, who's the lottery ticket, basically. But he also has to be the lottery ticket that a bunch of other people aren't playing. Like Spencer Ware. A lot of people are going to play Spencer Ware this week. And Spencer Ware is a really good cash game play because he's so cheap and you just want that safe bet.
So then you kind of have to be an insider and know who's going to get the bulk of the work, like say in Cleveland. Like if you have a really good feel for that situation. Uh-huh. I don't. I'm not going to pretend that I do. Like a Duke.
Right.
I don't even know his name, but you know what I'm saying? Duke Johnson.
Yeah, and then Isaiah Crowell. Yeah, so they got Isaiah Crowell at 4.2K and Duke Johnson at 5.1K. Now, Duke Johnson is a little bit more expensive because this is PPR, and Duke Johnson is going to get more catches. But, yeah, you're right. If you got a read on that, both those guys are, you know, pretty moderately priced. And I think weeks one and two, especially week one, you know, that's the time when – the prices aren't really as set as they're going to be, you know, later on in the year. So you can kind of get away with picking some of these deep sleeper guys like a Crockett Gilmore. He might not be this cheap all season.
Right.
Yeah. So those are just two basic strategies for daily fantasy sports. And I really go off of DraftKings just because they're what I use, you know. People use FanDuel and other things, but I mean, it's basically FanDuel and DraftKings. I use DraftKings.
Yeah. I use DraftKings. So there you go.
Yeah.
There you go.
So that's my little bit about daily fantasy sports. All right, you ready to get into some lines?
Yep. Let's do it.
All right, so this is how we're going to do it. We're going to break this podcast up in two parts. We're going to talk about the Thursday and the early game first. And then later on the week, we'll release the evening and the Monday games. Should be all good. So first up tomorrow, Carolina -3 at Denver, over under 41.5. I mean, you think it's going to get to 3.5? That's the only question I want to know.
I can't see it getting there, No. It doesn't get there. There's just no way.
No.
Okay, this is a Super Bowl rematch. This is pretty much where the line was at for the Super Bowl, give or take a point, you know? So, like, 3.5, 4, uh-huh. It closed. And now you're playing at the home site. And in my opinion, Denver has upgraded their quarterback. And the Panthers have downgraded on defense. I just don't see it, man. I don't see it. Now I might be giving myself away, but if you want to play the Carolina Panthers, I don't have much to sell because everybody is betting the Panthers. But if you are betting Denver Broncos, you're pretty much betting that defense, because I doubt any of y'all's out there went and saw Trevor Siemian play any of, like, maybe, you know, more than two of his preseason games. And to be honest with you, I don't even remember him playing at Northwestern. I know he did, but yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, to be honest with you, this is a game where I kick back, maybe have a beer or two and watch and not put any money on. If I have to, which I never have to, I'm you know me, I like a totals guy. I wouldn't mind throwing a little at the under. But
you went right into what I was going to ask you. I have a weird feeling there was a couple defensive touchdowns, right, in the Super Bowl.
Uh-huh.
I think something's going to happen. It's just, you know, sloppy. Something's going to happen in the special teams. I just think this total is really low, and there's a lot of speed on the field. If I remember correctly, Carolina played really clumsily in the Super Bowl. They had a lot of drops. They were slipping all over the Santa Clara surface. I kind of would like the over, just because now I'm getting the value. I'm getting where tomorrow I'm probably going to be betting 40.5, and it opened at 43. And this is where you got to let the bookie kind of guide you in your betting. Another way to do it is once you get that account, you know, I sound like a true degenerate, but I'm trying to make you.
Now you sound like a.
I'm trying to make you right now, get you to make money. So, you know, the line is it opened up like Denver minus 2, right? So bookmakers usually aren't wrong. They were slated for Denver win by 2 points. Now, for some reason or another, the slide has slid all the way 5 points. 5.5 maybe. We're talking about 5.5. Minus negative 2 to plus 3.5. That's 5.5 points. So if at the halftime, you know, the score is like maybe one team up by 6, you want to turn around and bet the other team to make it a close game because – the bookmaker is telling you this is going to be a field goal pick'em game. So I think you have a point. I think, you know, even the over-under is, you know, a little bit – I think it's too low for my blood. And I sure as hell I'm not going to bet the over because this defense and the quarterback that Denver has. But I think I'll wait for like a halftime play. And even then, I mean, you are going to have to drink a couple of beers because if this is a freaking pump fest, are you kidding me? You're going to have to keep pounding them, bro.
Right. Yeah, that's true. Well, check it out. So are you going to – do you like the total? I mean, not the total, the spread at all?
I already have me some Denver. I went 3.5. I paid 122. So you know how that goes. That doesn't mean I bet 122. I paid 122. I would lean towards the over because I'm a contrarian, as they like to call it. I like to look for ways to fade the public, and if everybody's coming to the window to bet the under. Well, you know, to be honest with you, the public's not really shading this line to the under because the public always wants the over. But I would bet the over, but I'm not gonna bet it. I'm not gonna bet it.
Right. Right. So you do got a little bit on the Denver. You're taking the points, which is the smart move, the sharp move, I would say. If there's any DFS action I like in here, I like the tight ends. I like Greg Olsen. I like Virgil Green. Virgil Green, 2.9K, that's pretty low. And Greg Olsen at 5.1, I think, is pretty respectable. Yeah.
I don't know what the value is, but how much value would, like, an Emmanuel Sanders have?
Pretty good. I mean, he's 5.7K, and you know, Demaryius is at 7. I'd rather have Emmanuel Sanders. He just got that contract extension right there, and he's probably going to want to go out and give a little extra effort to show the ownership that he deserves it.
Yeah, see, like we're on this podcast and we're slated to know, but I can't really get a good feeling off of who Trevor Siemian is going to establish that relationship with. But after watching tomorrow, I sure as heck know. I'll tell you that much.
Yeah, and that's
what I mean by is I don't know if he's gonna prefer Demaryius Thomas or if he's gonna go to Emmanuel Sanders. Trevor Siemian's quite a tall guy, but and then last year Demaryius Thomas had a case of the dropsies. You know, you want to bet on him to have a comeback year, but it's not Peyton throwing Demaryius. Everybody wants to remember those days.
Right, right. I that's why I said I think I'm. If I'm going to play someone, I'm going to play the tight ends. I think there's some good value there for those guys.
Does that mean we don't start Jonathan Stewart?
Oh, we're in a half point per carry league. We are definitely starting Jonathan Stewart. And if it was CJ Anderson, half point per carry, I'm starting him too. Because I think both those guys are going to get some carries in this game. Because I think you're right. There's going to be some handoffs and there's going to be some playing it safe. Especially on Denver side.
Yeah, I totally agree with you, man.
Mm-hmm. All right, moving on. Next game, we got the next early game, Tampa Bay at Atlanta. Atlanta's favored by 3 points. And we got over-under at 47.5. Now, I put these lines up a couple days ago, so it might be a little bit of movement, but I'm still seeing 47.5, Atlanta minus 3.
I listened to a couple other podcasts, and they said that they have always had Tampa Bay plus 3, Atlanta minus 3, and there's been no reason to move this number. But I went to South Point on 12th of July and got me a little bit of Tampa Bay plus 3.5. So, yeah, you give me the hook with arguably the better quarterback, you know? He has more continuity with his team right now than Matt Ryan. I don't know what the heck has happened to Matt Ryan. And, I mean, I don't even think there's much of a home field advantage anymore in that dome. So I'm going to bet this game as if I'm just betting the quarterbacks. The thing about Atlanta is they've haven't hit on a defensive end, not via draft or free agency. So if you can't put pressure on the quarterback and there's pristine passing conditions, give me Jameis Winston. He put up over 4,000 yards his rookie year. That's not an accident.
Yeah, to go with what you're saying, I think that there is going to be some fantasy goodness in here. For some reason, Matt Ryan likes to play good at home early in the season. And I think this is a good tandem to pair up for DFS, Matt Ryan and Julio Jones. And it's going to cost you a little bit, but I think it could be worth it. And on the other side of the ball, I like Jameis Winston pairing up with Mike Evans. I think that's going to be paying out as well.
Well, hopefully there is fantasy goodness because there's a lot of star players in this game. I mean, I know there's probably like five players or four players that went in the first four rounds. I'll say maybe three rounds. Mike Evans, Doug Martin, Julio Jones, Devontae Freeman. So,
yeah, that's four, top two, three at the most, you know?
Yeah. So, I actually would like – I'm going to say that I like the under, but I mean, you can still get fantasy goodness and hit the under. You're talking about hitting 48 points. Oh, yeah. That's like, yeah, there's going to be five touchdowns on the board, and I just don't see it. Like I said, I think that Atlanta is going to protect Matt Ryan, just feed Devontae Freeman, and Tampa Bay always comes hungry with a run stuffing front seven. Maybe they've shown they could, you know, upgrade their secondary, but and then there's you know, Matt Ryan doesn't have that continuity with the new receivers, you know. But all he has, Sanu, I don't know who his tight end is. I know Julio, yeah, Tammy.
Jacob Tammy.
So I just think they're going to utilize the heck out of Devontae Freeman, but I'm not going to bet it, to be fair, to be honest. That's just me throwing in my two cents.
Yeah, I wouldn't bet it either. I mean, minus three, that's just your classic home favorite. And these, their division, they're, you know, they play in division. This is going to be a close game, I think. I mean, 3 points, I'm staying away from this.
Yeah, and that's exactly why I got the hook. Because, you know, Tampa Bay's got that rookie kicker, Robert Aguayo, who I love. They picked up in the second round. You know, he needs a head shrink. He's missing kicks in the preseason. You know, he's a former no. I like him. I think his little brother's even better from Florida State. But, you know, these kickers, yeah, these kickers can be tricky, so give me the hook, you know. Tough division game.
All right. Here's another tough one, Manuel. Next game we got. Minnesota. 1-point favorites on the road at Tennessee. Minnesota lost their quarterback, man. Bridgewater goes down with the knee injury. Devastating. People were throwing their helmets. Players were
crying. Dude, I wonder if there's any footage of that. And
I think it would have surfaced by now.
Stick to like the games, you know. I mean, you don't hear us talking about Kaepernick or this or that. But I mean, they went out and they got Sam Bradford. And you give up a first round pick and potentially a second round pick. Right now, they're giving up a first and a fourth. That sounds like, you know, more than just a. It sounds like a career ender to me. What I'm saying.
I mean, from what I'm reading, man, it's going to be 12 to 18 month minimum recovery time. So, yeah, it doesn't look like his availability for next year is going to be, you know, that's up in the question as well. So, and the reason why they got Bradford, too, is because he's under contract for another year. So they have Bradford for 2 years at least, this year and next year. And you're right, man. I mean, poor guy. But what I'm saying is,
yeah, man, to get to your point, fools are throwing up, just losing their lunch, crying, you know, it's unbelievable.
So here's my angle. I think Minnesota's going to play hard, and they're going to play conservative, and they're going to play really good defense, and they're going to run the ball in this game. Over under 41, I'm not seeing this game going over. I like the under in this game.
Oh, man, how I love to disagree with you. Listen, though, I totally agree with you on the side. I myself was looking to bet Minnesota when it was -3, when everybody was healthy. I thought, I was like, man, you know what? I better bet it. I better bet it because it's going to go to 5 because they're a road. I thought they were going to end up like, you know, -5. And then he went down and they went off the board and it opened up at Pick'em. And I got at Minnesota -1. I think this is a steal. I mean, you're talking about Minnesota, who had like a top five defense in the NFL. Will then play a kick away from beating the defending NFC Conference championships in Seattle. They missed that fluke extra kick. They lost 10-9, and their offense was rated 29th last year. They had a 29th rated offense, and they were, you know, seconds from within advancing to play the Panthers, you know, in the NFC Conference semis. So I just think you can't read too much into what's going on right now in the preseason. Yeah, Tennessee did their thing, but you're talking about a front seven that's led by Mike Zimmer. He's got awesome secondary, you know. Through the fourth quarters, you know, they're just going to get wore down. And I imagine they're just going to pummel Tennessee. The front seven is okay, but through the fourth quarters, it's just not going to hang. I imagine it's like when USC was beaten down, was getting beaten down by Alabama. They're just going to run it, use the McKinnons, use AP, play action. North Turner knows how to do the play calling, especially conservative. That's one thing he's good at, being conservative. And I unfortunately don't see Mariota getting too much done.
Me either. That's what I'm saying. So how do you like the over? You like more than six touchdowns being scored in this game?
Yeah, I could see like, you know, 20-13. What does that give me?
That gives you 10 points short.
Holy
of the over.
Shit. Yeah. Well, I'm not betting it though, so.
No, okay. Well, okay. My
thing is, like, my logic is that, you know, in the fourth quarter, you always have this, you know, this garbage hurry up offense, you know what I mean? So, you know, say it is 13 and there's 4 minutes left and they add a jump touchdown. 28-20 becomes 48 points.
Oh, yeah, you're okay. You said 28-13. I thought you said 20-13.
No, I said 28.
28-13 will give you a push if it's at 41 still. And I think Minnesota's getting more or given more now. I think they're -2.5.
I bet you probably see it at some places. I see it -3, but
yeah, as soon as they got Sam Bradford, that kind of changed a bit. But I just think both teams are going to run a lot. It's going to shorten the game, not as many possessions. So that's my logic on it.
Yeah, I totally agree with the logic. I just am betting on Minnesota being way more efficient in the red zone.
And then maybe you're saying maybe Mariota a little backdoor over, let's lose respectively kind of.
Yeah,
thing.
Pretty much. Yeah, pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm not just doing these things to disagree with you. You know what I mean?
No, I think disagreeing makes for good podcasts. I like it. Anyways, let's move on. Cleveland at Philly.
Bro, we really have to talk about this game.
I just want to make one point. How is Philly such a favorite? I mean, well, they were at 6-point favorites. Now they're -4. Yeah. Oh man, Carson Wentz.
Dude, I got me some Cleveland +5, and I'm nervous. That's just how bad the Browns suck. But then again, I'm thinking, okay, you know what? Joe Hayden's still in the squad. Philly's got no legitimate deep threat. By no means is Dorian Beckham a legitimate deep threat. Carson Wentz, he claims he learned by watching 3 preseason games. You know what I mean? He played some in the first game and then got no action. Yeah, I'm with you, man. I don't see it. I mean, this is. I mean, we said in a prior podcast, Eagles going to suck, and this is even when they had Sam Bradford, bro.
I mean, the Eagles have a pretty good defense. I'll give them that, but. There's no way I'm giving that many points to anybody if I'm Philly starting Carson Wentz.
Dude, can't do it. Okay, you bag on pretend football? He played on pretend football. He played in the FCS, which is the equivalent of Division II.
Yeah, well, now he's in the big boy league, and we'll see how he does. And Cleveland beat the Niners last year, so they came in that bad.
Dude, a lot of people beat the Niners last year.
That's true. That's true. All right, yeah, we don't need to spend much time on this game. Over under 42.5. I think it's at 41
bro,
now.
Let's go.
Pass. I don't even really like much DFS action on here. Anyways, Cincinnati -2 on the road at the mighty New York Jets. I don't even know the words to describe this game, but I think it's going to be very
slobber
physical.
Knocker?
And slobber knocker. Dude, there you go. You're so eloquent, Manuel, and you come up with these words. You're really good, Manuel. You're awesome.
Thanks, man.
Slobber
knocker. Per good source, I listen to and read a lot of Ted Savransky. You know who that is.
Yeah.
He said that if you want some Cincinnati, you better get to the window now because everybody's betting Cincinnati. And I did, too. I did when it was at -2. I really think Cincinnati should be favored by, like, 5. But, you know, it wouldn't surprise me if they lose, to be honest with you. Just because people are overreacting about, you know, Fitzpatrick and the Jets are an old-ass team, but this is a really old-ass team that's fresh. It's week one. You know what I mean? So,
yeah,
they have Decker, Brandon Marshall,
that's a good point.
Forte, Bala Powell. There's a lot of playmakers. I mean, their front seven is still none to fuck with, you know? So, and they... I mean, if anything, just like you said, it's a slobber knocker. I can't sit here and try to bet the over. I'll tell you that much. You're not going to convince me. And it's at 41.5 from what I see right now.
Yeah, I'm going to try to convince you for the over. How about that? I think the Jets, people talk about the Jets' defense. I think their offense is better than their defense, first of all. And second of all, are you afraid at all that Cincinnati lost their receivers and lost Hugh Jackson as the offensive coordinator? You don't think that's going to affect their offense?
No, I'm really banking on – I think it was kind of like time, you know, that he let his – you know, you kind of like let your Blue Jay go into – it's time to let him out the house. And I think that's where Dalton was at in his career, and I think he could manage fairly well without him. And his quarterback coach is now his coordinator. I'm pretty sure they have a pretty good relationship or else they wouldn't have got their job. The receivers that they got to replace some of them, I saw a little bit Tyler Boyd and when he was at Pittsburgh, I trust him. And I mean, the Cincinnati Bengals are where they're at because they draft well. It's not like they get these free agents, you know, these marquee free agents that want to go play in Cincinnati, you know? So I really trust their GM and what they've been doing in the draft since they got Dalton. They got the kid LaFell, right? You're respectable.
Right.
I mean, good players, great players make people around them better. And I think Dalton and AJ Green are that. And you still have Giovanni Bernard. I think people have been focusing on what they lost and on what they have.
Okay. I mean, that's a good point. Do you like any side in this game?
Yeah, I got me some Cincinnati -2. So,
Yeah, I get them now. It's 2.5 already. So.
Yeah, so, you know. Anything can happen. It's a slobber knocker, but whatever. I said it wouldn't surprise me if the Bengals lost, but I got some action on the Bengals.
All right, moving on. Another early game. We have the Oakland Raiders traveling to New Orleans. New Orleans, a 1-point favorite at home against the Raiders.
You know, when was the last time Raiders were over 500?
Last year? No. No. 2002?
Yeah, my daughter was born in that year, 2002. She's now a freshman at BHS. Represent. Bitches, hoes, and sluts.
Well.
Dude, I'm not trusting the Raiders to all of a sudden just get their comeuppance ready and head into the Superdome and fresh off a brand new contract extension. They have Dennis Allen, their former head coach, as the New Orleans defensive coordinator. I'm biased towards the Raiders if I didn't have money to play with, but since I do, I'm gonna bet I haven't bet it, and I need to because I see the line's already like at -2. I think New Orleans closes like -3, like the field goal.
So if you like the Raiders, you should wait.
Yeah, I mean, if you really like the Raiders, you should wait. but it doesn't matter. But New Orleans is going to win, and they're going to cover.
I think there's some fantasy goodness to be had in this game. And what I think if you're playing DFS, what you want to do is you want to pair Drew Brees with the receiver. I like Willie Snead, Kobe Fleener. And if you like the Raiders, pair Derek Carr with one of his receivers. You want to go extra cheap, go ahead and pair him up with Clyde Wolford. The tight end, you know, he's going for $3K.
I mean, if you want to be, cheap, I mean, how much could Michael Thomas be?
Michael Thomas is $4K. Willie Snead, 4.8. Brandon Cook, 7.7. But
because see, I think Michael Thomas has more the higher upside. Because I think that you can have Snead catch four balls for 50 yards, but Michael Thomas is going to catch those home run balls.
Yeah, and remember, DraftKings gives you that bonus if they get to 100 yards. So
yeah, I had no idea about that bonus, but I think Michael Thomas is the better value there. I mean, he hasn't had a deep threat there since he had Kenny Stills.
And the quarterbacks get a bonus for passing over 300 yards. So that's why I like – there's some fantasy goodness here. So if you get a couple different lineups, you might want to pick and choose some of these players. C.J. Spiller, I think, is a good value play. Potentially.
Yeah, as long as he's healthy, you're right. I forgot about C.J. Spiller.
So, there's some fantasy goodness in here. Go ahead and sprinkle a few of these guys in.
But before we get too far, on this one we would agree on, right? The over-under is the 51. We would bet the over.
Yeah, I wouldn't bet on it, but if I did, I would bet the over. This is the one. Yeah, I'm probably not going to bet on it. It's a little high. That's still a lot of points.
Tease it.
The good old three-team teaser. Tease that bad boy up to, or tease it down. Let me get 45.
Let me get 45.
There you go. All right. Next up, San Diego at Kansas City. Kansas City with 7-point favorite over under 44.5.
Yeah, I got me some plus +7, and then I was hearing today that a good bet would be the over. So what do you think about that? Let's see, over under. It is. Oh, it's trekking up. It opened 43, and now it's at 44.5. So, yeah, the smarts are hitting it. I don't see Alex Smith ever beating anybody by more than 7, like predictably. Like, it'll happen, you know, on a whim.
What? It happened against the Texans in the playoffs.
Texans who have, some kid – named Fred Savage, who was on the Wonder Years playing quarterback.
I think that the Kansas City defense is what makes them win by a lot. Their offense, he's Alex Smith, man. His job is to not turn the ball over and to make the right play.
I think one of their linebackers is ready. Justin Smith's not ready. Barry missed all of training camp. He just signed his franchise tender exactly a week ago. So, yeah, I mean, I would bet the over in this game. I mean, the offensive line for the Chargers is healthy. He's got some weapons named Travis Benjamin. You know, Keenan Allen's back with the, healed kidney. So, Melvin Gordon is running better than ever. Somebody was telling me they got excited because he trained with AP. So I don't know if AP passed on some talent to him. It's not going to matter if he didn't do that.
there's some fantasy goodness in here. I already talked about Spencer Ware. Phillip Rivers is good to pair with King.
Dude, let me tell you this. I was going through some matchups in some leagues, and at a flex, this dude put in Frank Gore over Kelsey. I need to get this dude on our podcast. I mean, like, hooked. You know what I mean? Subscribe. That's, you don't do that. I mean, I want to ask you, do you do that? PPR, just standard PPR?
Frank Gore over...
Kelsey.
Who is it again?
Kelsey. At the flex.
I mean, if it's PPR, you got to go with the pass catcher, I think. But I'm waiting to see, man. I think Gore's going to catch some passes, too. Old man Gore.
Okay, week one, Travis Kelsey at the flex, wide receiver tight end, wide receiver running back tight end, and you think that it's between Travis Kelsey and Frank Gore.
It's close. I'll give the slight edge to Kelce because he catches passes, and I know Alex Smith loves to throw it to his tight end. I think Kelsey's in for a good year, but it's a lot
closer. Dude, there's a slobber knocker there that I think the Colts are going to get their fucking slobber knocked. I think the Lions front four ain't nothing to mess with, man. The Indianapolis Colts have all kinds of problems on the offensive line. Gore is on his seventh knee replacement.
All right, we'll get to that in the late game, but we have a few more of these early games. Let's go ahead and pound through these real quick. Is that okay?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
All right, we got Buffalo at Baltimore. Baltimore are 3-point favorites at home, over under 44.5. I don't trust either one of these teams. I will not be placing any wager on this game.
I totally agree. I'm totally stifled and bored with this matchup. So I just didn't even touch it.
All right. The only interesting thing fantasy-wise I would say is watch out, see who's going to get the carries, Forsett or Buck Allen. I was happy there for a few days because they dropped Forsett, but then they picked his ass back up. And I have Buck Allen on a few of my fantasy teams.
Yeah, so. I'm a big proponent of Buck Allen, so I think it'll pan out. And Buck Allen will emerge notorious.
Okay. Well, that's the only thing I'm really excited to look at on that. Next game, we got Chicago at Houston. Houston, 5.5-point favorites. Over-under is 44. I'm really excited to see how Houston defense looks and how Brock Osweiler looks because DeAndre Hopkins is beasting. And he had some pretty crappy quarterbacks, and he's still put up some great numbers.
Yeah, so, you know what? I think this could be a game where there's potentially fantasy goodness. If you looked at where the fantasy studs went for Houston, Lamar Miller and DeAndre Hopkins, in a lot of cases they were both taken in the first round. And if you look at where you know Jeremy Langford and Alshon Jeffrey were taken, they weren't the quote-unquote sexy picks, but it would not surprise me for their lines to be better than the Houston lines, just because that's where the ball is going to go through for Chicago to have any shot at this game, Jeremy Langford and Alshon Jeffrey. And, yeah, you don't have to ask me twice. I got me some Chicago plus 7. It's 5.5 now, but it just hit me right now. I'm like, you know what? There's a lot of playmakers in the Texans, and Miller can get a lot of yards, but Langford's going to get a lot of little dump-off passes.
Hey, man, maybe you can get a nice little middle going on if you get 5.5 or 5 and 7.
Nah, Jay Cutler sucks too much. He won't get. This is where it stops. The Bucks, because I heard 5 is a dead number, so it'll stop at 5.
Okay, yeah, you're right. 5 is a dead number, but I'm saying that 6 is a number that lands on a lot of times. So if you can get that 6 as a middle, that might be a sneaky
play.
Or
if you tease it, you get Houston plus a couple points.
Yeah, that's true too. Over-unders, I'm not really feeling the total on this game either. Fantasy-wise, I mean, besides the usual names, I don't see anything that's going to stand out too much. I'm excited to see how Kevin White looks.
Okay, you know? But I'm pretty sure DeAndre Hopkins cost a mighty dollar.
Oh, he's 8.8K. I think he's the number three wide receiver.
Okay, so do you fork the cash against the Bears DBs?
I'm waiting on DeAndre. If I'm paying up that much, I'm just going to go pay a little bit more and get Antonio or Odell, you know, or even Julio. I think Julio's around the same price. I'd rather have those three guys for that price.
Dude, Odell's going to suck.
All right, we'll see. He's done pretty good against the Cowboys in his career. But we'll get to that game. We have one more early game, all right? We got Green Bay. 4.5-point favorites on the road at Jacksonville. The total is 48. A lot of points.
Apparently, 48. Oh, I'm betting on it. Apparently, and especially because it was opened up 47, is getting love to the over. The Green Bay defense is Super Bowl-esque. I'll say that. Apparently, the two sexiest teams in the offseason were the Raiders and the Jacksonville Jaguars. I think a lot of people are just infatuated with the kind of numbers that Blake Bortles put up in garbage time last year. and they need they need more time this season. Yeah, I like Allen Robinson and Hearns, but not against a caliber of a team that of Green Bay Packers. No way. I mean, you have Eddie Lacy.
Yeah.
He's like not eating pork grinds this year. I think that was his New York, his New Year's resolution. So I mean, you have Corn on the Cob, who's ready, hot and ready to go. Jordy Nelson's gonna. I don't even like him, but I think he's good for the over under on his longest catch is probably like 44.5, and I'll take the over. And I just made that number up. I don't know what you think about it. I just think they're on a league of their own, the Packers, when it comes between them and the Jacksonville Jaguars. We already know the Jacksonville Jaguars don't even really have a 3-point field edge. I can see the Cheeseheads just coming out of the woodwork, coming out of Swampsville, and yeah, taking over that stadium. So.
Yeah, but one of the things that Jacksonville did good last year was they were able to put up some jump time points. So that's why give me the over on this game. I think.
Well, man, if there's any indicator right now that's at 48, you better bet it yesterday because it opened up 47. And yeah, I mean, you have these fantasy guys playing DFS, and you have, you know, your Blake Bortles. You paying what, like $6,000 for him?
Bortles is 7.2K. Yeah. Aaron Rodgers 8.5. There's gonna be some. There's gonna be some points in and I like Julius Thomas 3.8K. That's a nice little sleeper tight end. A lot of people are on Jared Cook. That's because, like you said, Green Bay's a pretty popular team. But it wouldn't surprise me if, like you said, the Packers go up pretty good and they just start feeding Eddie Lacy. Ironically, I guess.
Yeah, that's something you don't want to do, but you do want to do. So you
right.
Yeah.
So. I kind of like Eddie Lacy in this game, and I kind of like T.J. Yeldon in this game as well to get some dump off.
Well,
passes,
I mean, if there's any really sign of the over, they're gonna have to need some T.J. Yeldon action, because if this is the Eddie Lacy and Chris Ivory show, there's no way we're touching 48 points.
Uh huh. Well, that's why I think this could be like a good, you know, 33-28 kind of game.
Hell no.
Jacksonville.
Wait a minute,
with the late touchdown.
On the side, man. We got to do like a brunch or something.
Okay.
This is crazy, dude. I'll meet you at the freaking farmer's market or something. Buy me a cup of coffee. I'm not real high maintenance.
All right, a cup of coffee at the farmer's market. 48. I like the over 48.
All right, man. I'll take the under. Well, that's crazy.
Right. It's a deal. I'll buy you your favorite espresso latte or whatever it is you drink. All right, man. That's it for the early games. We'll be right back after this quick break. It's halftime.
Check me out, y'all. Nasty Nas in your area. About to cause mass hysteria. Before blunt, I take out my fronts. Then I start the front. Matter of fact, I'll be on a manhunt. You couldn't catch me in the streets without a ton of reefer. That's like Malcolm X catching a jungle fever. King poetic, too much flavor, I'm major. Atlanta ain't braver, I pull a number like a pager. Cause I'm an ace when I face the base. 40 side is the place that is giving me grace. Now wait, another dose, say you might be dead. And I'm a Nike head. I wear chains that excite the feds. It ain't a damn thing gonna change. I'ma perform a strange show to Mike. Warmer was born the game. Nas, why did you do it? You know you got the mad fat fluid when you rhyme. It's halftime. It's halftime. Hey, yo, it's halftime. I got it him, now you never get the mic back. When I attack, there ain't an army that can strike back. So I react never calmly on a hype track. I set it off with my own rhyme. Cause I'm as ill as a convict who kills for phone time. I'm max like a sex, a flex like sex in your stereo sex. Nas a catch wreck. I used to hustle.
Now all I do is relax and strive. When I was young, I was a fan of the Jackson 5. I drop jewels, wear jewels, hope to never run it. With more kicks than a baby in a mother's stomach. Nasty knives, has to rise, cause of rise. This is exercise till the microphone dies. Back in 83, I was an MC sparking. But I was too scared to grab the mics in the parks and kick my little raps, cause I thought niggas wouldn't understand. And now in every jam, I'm a fucking man. I rap in front of more niggas than in the slave ships. I used to watch chips, now I load plot clips. I got to have it, I miss Mr. Magic. Versatile, my style switches like a faggot. But not bisexual, I'm an intellectual. A rap, I'm a professional, and that's no question, yo. These are the lyrics of a man, you can't never understand. Cause in the streets, I'm well known like the number man. In my place with the bass and format, explore rap. And tell me Nas ain't all that. And next time I rhyme, I'll be foul. Whenever I freestyle, I see trial, niggas say I'm wow. I hate a rhyme, bite his rhyme. Stay tuned, I assume the real rap comes at halftime.
Right, yeah.
Song every afternoon, I kick half the tune, and in the darkness, I'm heartless like when the knock said word to Marcus Garvey, a heartless barked it. Cause when I blast the herb, that's my word, I be slaying them fast, doing this, that, and the third. But chill, Pastor Andre, and let's lay. I bag bitches up at John Jay and hit a matinee, putting hits on 5-0. Cause when it's my time to go, I wait for God with the faux rope, and fighters can't come near. And you'll go to hell to the fell cop who shot Garcia. I won't plant seeds. Don't need an extra mouth, I can't feed. That's extra Philly change, more cash for damp weed. This goes out to Manhattan, the Allen of Staten. Brooklyn and Queens is living fat in the boogie down. Enough props, enough clout. Ill will, rest in peace, yo, I'm out.
Right.
It's still halftime.
Right.
To the Queens Bridge crew. To the Queens Bridge.